What happens when your workplace makes you glow in the dark and you think it's glamorous? In the 1920s, young women working as dial painters would leave their factories luminous, their hair shimmering, their dresses radiating an ethereal green light. They'd paint their teeth and nails with the substance for parties, delighting in how they'd become walking lanterns. The material making them glow was radium, then considered a miracle cure sold in everything from chocolate to toothpaste. These women had landed elite jobs, clean, artistic, well-paid at $20 weekly when most female work paid far less. They felt lucky. They had no idea they were dying with every brushstroke, that their bones would remain radioactive for over 1,000 years, or that their fight for justice would revolutionize workplace safety forever. Radium was America's obsession. At $120,000 per gram, more valuable than diamonds, this glowing element seemed magical. The Surgeon General called it a mythological superbeing. When World War I created demand for luminous watch dials, factories recruited young women for what seemed like dream jobs. The technique was simple: mix radium powder with water and adhesive, then paint tiny numbers onto watch faces. The critical step was lip pointing, placing the brush between your lips to create a fine point. Supervisors removed water crucibles, insisting this method was necessary. The women complied, assured the paint was harmless. Meanwhile, company founders wore lead aprons and used ivory-tipped tongs when handling the same substance. The dial painters took pride in their wartime contribution. They'd leave work glowing, ghost girls walking through darkened streets, an enchanting perk of an already desirable job. By 1922, Molly Maggia's teeth fell out, her jawbone crumbling during extraction. Other dial painters developed spontaneous fractures and unbearable pain. Baffled doctors diagnosed syphilis, adding moral shame to physical agony. Molly's death certificate falsely listed syphilis when she died in September 1922. Helen Quinlan died at 22, Irene Rudolph at 21. The pattern was unmistakable, yet the company denied everything. Meanwhile, Radium Dial Company in Ottawa, Illinois, recruited young women with promises of clean and healthful work. Their instructor ate luminous material with a spatula to prove its safety, encouraging girls to paint their fingers for fun. Dr. Harrison Martland finally connected the dots. His autopsy of Sarah Mylifer revealed radioactivity throughout her skeleton. Her bones could expose photographic film within 60 hours. The radium would remain radioactive for centuries. Most devastating, radium poisoning was utterly incurable. By 1927, Grace Fryer could barely stand. X-rays revealed her spine shattered by radium, vertebrae crushed, foot bones destroyed. She wore a steel brace from shoulders to waist, removable for only 2 minutes at a time. After countless lawyers rejected her case, citing statute of limitations, Raymond Barry argued the clock should start at diagnosis, not employment's end. Grace filed for $250,000, joined by Catherine Schaub, Quinta McDonald, Albina Larice, and Edna Hussman. The press dubbed them the case of the five women doomed to die. The company fought viciously, hiring detectives to follow the women, spreading syphilis rumors, and claiming contributory negligence. They insisted the women were never instructed to lip point, and radium wasn't dangerous, despite executives wearing lead aprons. Barry exposed their expert witness, Frederick Flynn, as a fraud of frauds with only a philosophy degree. The January 1928 trial captured national attention. Journalists described the women as a sadly smiling sorority. Albina had lost 3 pregnancies and contemplated suicide, yet they faced their fate with remarkable courage. Quinta joked she was neither a martyr nor a saint, while Grace declared she faced fate with the spirit of a Spartan. While New Jersey's case made headlines, Ottawa's dial painters faced betrayal from their own community. When Catherine Wolfe and Marie Rossiter demanded medical results, manager Mr. Reed dismissed them. If we were to give the medical reports to you girls, there would be a riot in the place. The company published ads claiming examinations found no radium poisoning, insisting radium will put rosy cheeks on you. Most women, raised not to challenge authority, believed these lies. But when Catherine was fired in 1931 after 9 years, told her limping condition was causing talk, she refused silence. With Charlotte Purcell, who'd lost an arm to radium poisoning, she filed suit. The town's response was vicious. Businesses, politicians, clergy, and former colleagues shunned them as if they had the plague. Not one of Ottawa's 41 attorneys would represent them. They found Leonard Grossman in Chicago, a passionate attorney who championed underdogs. On February 10, 1938, Catherine, too weak to walk, was carried on a wooden chair to the courtroom. She testified in a weak and muffled voice, producing a jewelry box containing fragments of her own jawbone. When the doctor confirmed her condition was fatal, Catherine collapsed, sobbing hysterically. The next day, 30 people crowded her dining room to watch her testify from her sofa, slowly raising an imaginary brush to her lips, a shudder running through her as friends watched with faces drawn with emotional intensity. Judge George Marvel ruled in Catherine's favor on April 20, 1938, awarding maximum compensation and finding Radium Dial Company guilty, one of the first cases making employers responsible for employee health. But victory came at the ultimate price. By June, Catherine weighed just 61 pounds. On July 27, 1938, she died at home, hemorrhaging from her jaw. The company appealed 8 times before the Supreme Court finally declined to hear the case. The Radium Girls' legacy transformed workplace safety forever. Their cases directly influenced Manhattan Project safety protocols and led to establishing the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Today's requirements that businesses inform employees about dangerous chemicals stem directly from their fight. Margaret Looney's 1978 exhumation revealed 19,500 microcuries of radium in her bones, 1,000 times the safe limit. Researchers discovered the company doctor had removed her jawbone after death to hide evidence. Tragically, the story didn't end in the 1930s. In 1978, women at Luminous Processes in Ottawa experienced the same nightmare, describing how they slapped the radium around like cake frosting. The plant wasn't shut down until inspectors found radiation levels 1,666 times higher than safe limits. These working-class women changed history through extraordinary courage. Their bodies became living laboratories advancing radiation science, while their legal battles established precedents protecting workers today. Every hazardous material warning label reflects their legacy. Their story reveals an uncomfortable truth. Corporate responsibility and worker safety were hard-won battles fought by those already suffering. These young women, who once delighted in glowing as they walked home, transformed personal tragedy into lasting protection for millions. Their message echoes across a century. Your right to know workplace dangers, to refuse unsafe work, to hold employers accountable, these weren't given. They were won by women whose bones still glow in the dark, whose sacrifice illuminated the path toward justice. The question isn't whether we remember them, it's whether we honor them by remaining vigilant, by questioning authority when our safety is at stake, by refusing to let their hard-won protections erode.